bless each and every one this evening. We do give you a very warm welcome in their service here to make a ministry tonight. And we do give a very warm welcome to the brethren in Pakistani. And the Lord bless you. And may the Lord be with you. And India at this time is going through a terrible time. And we want to be praying this evening for all of our brethren in the Lord across them different parts, the suffering at this time, that God will touch them and that God will bring an end to this which is happening today. Praise God. Well, this evening I want to speak about the gifts of the Spirit, and I don't hear many people preaching about the gifts of the Spirit, but I want to speak about the gifts of the Spirit, and it's quite a subject. There's no way that I will be able to finish it tonight or another night. It's quite a subject, but we'll go this evening with what the Lord has for us tonight. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to listen intently this evening to the Word of God, and we'll see what the Lord will show us from His Word this evening. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Now I'm going to mention a bit about that in the message a little later tonight. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So that's not to glorify one man, but that is to profit withal, so that the whole body may be blessed. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing till every man several as he will. Praise God. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer this evening while we look at these things. Praise God. Father in heaven, we do humbly bow before you tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you show toward each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Ghost, and I do take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you that you do, in Jesus Christ's name. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will move over these airwaves, that you will instruct us and teach us from the Word of God tonight, for your Word says that the servant of God must be apt to teach. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to show thy word to your people, that they may be encouraged, strengthened, and blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for our brethren, the suffering at this time, especially in India, that thou would bless them and be with them and bring an end to this destruction. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, heal those that need heal tonight. Save the lost. In the name of the Lord Jesus, cover us with your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this evening. Sadly today, in many churches, The gifts of the Spirit are never mentioned, and when they are, it is to say they are false. Yet the Apostle Paul, the messenger to the first church age, tells us that we were not to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now, I know some people say we're living in the last church age. We believe the message. If you do, then the last church messenger said that he only preached what Paul preached. So if we say we believe the message, we cannot deny what Paul the Apostle preached. Paul the Apostle is a messenger to the first church age, a servant of God, an apostle, that the Bible says special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul the Apostle. And this messenger tells us that we're not to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are a legacy to the true church, the bride. They are the gifts which are blessed of the Lord, given to us. When he died upon the cross of Calvary, he bequeathed us these gifts. When Christ ascended into heaven, the promise of the Father came. And that promise was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit from heaven. And in his riches, his true church, he gave the gifts of the Spirit to the true church of God. Now remember this, that God never takes away, he adds to. A legacy indeed, and who is not interested in legacies? Something that is left in a will for you and me. Jesus left us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He has left us also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And concerning spiritual gifts, we ought not to be ignorant. Because ignorance will rob us of what we could otherwise possess from Almighty God. Now I want to read you something that I found about C.H. Spurgeon. And you know, let me just read you about the great C.H. Spurgeon. Mr. Spurgeon was a big-hearted man because he loved to interest himself in the poor people. He had almshouses connected with his tabernacle, and he would make pastoral visits in these apartments where the old people lived. One old lady had brought all her belongings that were so sentimentally valuable to her, but not to anybody else. Such as an old faded photograph, a copy of a china dog's on the mantelpiece, and the clock that wouldn't go. Mr. Spurgeon would go around to the room inspecting the treasures. In this old lady's apartment, he saw on the wall a piece of paper with some writings. Mr. Spurgeon asked the lady, "What is that you have framed?" She said, "Sir, that reminds me of an old man that I nursed years ago. He was a patient, an old man, and when he was dying, he said, 'What can I give you to show my appreciation of all that you've done for me?' And, sir, he wrote his name on that piece of paper, and that's why I put it in a frame. It reminds me of the old man." Mr. Spurgeon said, "Could I borrow this? I will take very good care of it." She said, "Oh, but that's very dear to me. I would not like to lose that slip of paper with the old man's name on." But finally he persuaded her to let him have it. He removed it from the frame and took it to the bank. Maybe you have already guessed that this dear old lady had framed a check. Charles Spurgeon said to the bank manager, "Do you know anything about this money?" And the bank manager said, "It has been lying here for a long time, and nobody has ever claimed it." Spurgeon said, "I've come to claim it for an old lady who lives in the almshouses connected with the tabernacle." can see him with spiritual things. If we are ignorant, we lose the benefits God intended us to receive from the gifts that has been left us. I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, this evening, this is the words of Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2. In 1 Corinthians 12, we're not to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now come with me just for a moment, and you might wonder where I'm going, but follow me for a moment this evening as we look at verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 12. Know ye that you were Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. These dumb idols, for idolaters worship idols. Yes, it is lips, but they never open. The idol is eyes, but they cannot see. The idol is ears, but it never hears anything or says anything. It's dumb. Dumb idols. The Apostle Paul is using this scornful term concerning the finest specimens of sculpture that the world has ever seen. For some of the finest carvings were done by the Greek sculptors. They were carved so perfectly that the statue of Venus, one of their goddesses, today is acknowledged as the leading work of art. And yet all this was prostituted to the one end of idolatry so that the people should have an object of worship. Let me read you Isaiah 44. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians. Isaiah 44, verse 13-18. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule, he maketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with a compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in his house. He heweth down cedars, and take the cypress and the oak, and he strengthened for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn. For he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth and baketh bread. Yea, maketh a god and worshipeth. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth the roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue of he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut his eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. The true believer worships a God who made him. There's the difference. The true believer does not worship things he makes with his hands, but he worships God Almighty that made him. 1 Corinthians 12:2, and we read it, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away. Man worships the things made with his hands, from the worship of Jehovah to the worship of the works of their own hands carried away. Led, that's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Where in times past he walked according to this world, according to the prince of the power, the spirit of the air, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul is warning these people that was led by these forces and powers. He wants them to understand clearly this fact. No man under the power of the Holy Ghost will ever call Jesus accursed, because the Holy Spirit has come to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. When a man is speaking under divine unction, when the Spirit of Almighty God comes mightily upon a man, the utterance he gives, either in prophecy or interpretation, will be divine and magnify the great Redeemer Jesus Christ. Counterwise, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the genuine Holy Ghost. These Corinthians had been idolaters and had known the power So the Apostle Paul lays down clearly that no man speaking by the Spirit will call Jesus accursed. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And you can read right down to verse 12 and 13. But by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, and so forth. Now the writer says the same Spirit who causes all these to function, nature self gives us a great example. That's what nature does, but follow me this evening. Take, for instance, water in a glass. I have a glass of water. It is a common commodity, but a very remarkable one. Do you know you can have water in a lump? That's ice. What is ice but a lump of solid water? You can have water floating in the sky. What are clouds but water? Then you can have water that came down in pellets, as if the heaven were pea-shooting us. We call them hail, frozen drops of water. Then you can have all the trees covered with snow, all so white and beautiful. What is snow but water? Then you have a great artist who will draw pictures on your window panes of your car and of your house. Who is he? We call him here Jack Frost. But yet it's simply water. You can boil a kettle, what comes out? Steam. But yet it's water. There is no uniformity with the Almighty God as there is with man. When man builds a brick building, every brick is made in a mold. You've seen one, you've seen them all. But God doesn't even make two leaves the same on a single tree. Nor does he make two persons alike. No. Not even if they're identical twins, they are still, there's a difference in them. It's the same with a fivefold ministry. There are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are pastors, there are teachers, and how different they are one from another. The gifts differ. The ministries are different. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. And there are diversities of operation, but the same God which worketh all in all. Now come with me while we look at these gifts this evening, and we're going to go right back to the Old Testament. And I want us to look at illustrations of miracles in the Old Testament just to prove my point. Because when a certain man is used in a particular way, people glorify him and they worship him. But then God can have another man used in a completely different way, but yet it is still God in both men. I want you to see it this evening. Exodus 7, verse 9. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show me a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Take thy rod. Pass thy rod over the land, and the plagues began. When the Red Sea was to be divided, God said, pass thy rod over the sea. And the sea opened. When they needed water in the wilderness, God said, smite the rock. And he struck the rock, and water gushed out. It was a rod that God used in the days of Moses. In Moses' case, the working of miracles was associated with a rod. I want you to get that this evening. So we see in Moses' case, the working of miracles through God was associated with a rod. Yet Elijah had no rod. He had a mantle. And when the mantle was upon him, he was mightily used of God. He could pray and fire would fall from heaven. He would pray again and rain would come. And then we know at the close of his ministry, when he came to the Jordan and wished to pass over, he wrapped the mantle together and smote the waters hither and thither. And we know when the same mantle of Elijah fell on Elisha, he done double the miracles of Elijah. Another man to look at, Samson. So we see Moses used a rod. Elijah used a mantle. But now we have Samson. He didn't have a rod, and he didn't have a mantle. Judges 16, verse 17. That he told her all her heart and
said to her, there has not come a razor upon mine head, for I am a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak like any other man. The power of God came into Samson's very physical being, his very physical body. It came through his body, through his muscles, and when he laid hold on things, they moved. He had no rod, he had no mantle, but he had her that he was not to cut, and the Spirit of God would come on him physically, and he would do mighty things. Judges 16, verse 3. And Samson lay to midnight and arose up at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill the days before Hebron. Now you can research it, but I am led to believe that those gates weighed over tons of weight. Tons of weight. It is impossible for a man in the natural, even strong man, today could not lift these gates. They were so heavy. But yet, under the Spirit of Almighty God, that which was impossible was made possible. My friend, this evening, I don't care what you're going through, and maybe you think there's no way out, there's no answer. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. He slew 1,000 with a jawbone of an ass. There's a difference. One man finds the working of miracles functioning through his being, another man through a mantle, another man through a rod, and so have the gifts functioning in different ways, and yet the same God. For with God there's no infinite, there is an infinite variety. Now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That means the whole body. Which means that the manifestation is given for the general good of everybody. The Spirit of God is not given for personal enrichment. God didn't give any man a gift to make him rich, but to make him a blessing to all of the people of God and the true church of God. Everyone who has a gift or operates gift must be a holy, sanctified vessel for the Lord. Now let us look firstly this evening at the word of wisdom, and that was just my introduction, by the way. And I won't be long this evening, I won't keep you but by 30 minutes, and then we'll come back till it another night. But are you listening to the word of God? God bless you. The word of wisdom. You see the word of wisdom, mark it in your Bible, number one, the first gift. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Praise God. The word of wisdom. Also you read in, remember our opening verse. You know, we're not to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. In verse 8 says, for the one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. The word of wisdom has nothing to do with our wisdom, any more than the speaking of tongues or the gifts of healing to the medical profession. Gifts of healing is not you going to see the doctor. That is not the gift of healing. That is a man that's learned and been educated, and sure enough, God uses it, but that's not what we're talking about. We believe in doctors and nurses, don't think we don't. We pray that God will bless them. But I'm talking about gifts from the Lord. A man that's not even educated, that can hardly tell his right hand from his left hand, yet if he's sincere and seeks God, God can give him a gift. This is different in what is natural. So the word of wisdom is not natural wisdom, that you can tell me something from your own head. That is not what the word of wisdom is. And what is? It is supernatural. For there is natural gifts and there is supernatural gifts. A doctor can have a natural gift, but God can give someone a supernatural gift that when the doctors have done all they can do and they can do no more, you can have a man of God with a supernatural gift from God and he can do something the doctor couldn't do. It is the word That's what it means. The word of wisdom is the word of his wisdom, of God's wisdom, supernaturally imparted to an individual to help people. It is a gift from God. It is not the word of our wisdom at all. Look at some Bible examples of God giving the word of wisdom. You remember at the time of Noah, God spake from heaven in Genesis 6, verse 13 to 14. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And so God gave him the word of wisdom. God forewarned Noah with the word of wisdom. He gave it to Noah. And Noah was able to impart that word of wisdom which God gave him. For God had decided what he would do with this world. He would destroy it, but he would preserve Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives in an ark. 8 souls were saved. So the word of God's wisdom revealed to Noah the way of his salvation. Noah could never have known the way of salvation outside of a word of wisdom to him from God. But God spoke to Noah a word of wisdom, and the word of wisdom made Noah able to build an ark to the saving of his house. Praise God. Whenever God speaks to the man directly, he is giving him a word of wisdom. He spoke to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go. So he went in the opposite direction. He went to Joppa to take a boat across the Mediterranean to go to Spain. He had no wish to carry out the word of God's wisdom. He didn't want to do it. To fulfill this commission from Almighty God to preach to the Ninevites. No, he did not want to do it. He would go and have a vacation in Spain and stay there long enough for God to forget all about Nineveh, and then he would go back home. But we know that God changed that, and we know that a storm came in the sea, and we know the mariners in the boat feared for their lives, and eventually Jonah said, it's my fault. If you throw me over, everything will be well. And Noah was thrown overboard. Now remember, God already had spoke to Noah before all this happened, a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom that would save people. And here Noah's thrown overboard and a whale swallows him. And he cries from the belly of the whale unto God, once more will I look to thy holy promise, Lord. And the whale vomited up in Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh worshipped the whale. And here Jonah, the prophet Jonah, steps out of the whale's belly on the gangplank with the word of wisdom that God gave him. No wonder Nineveh repented when this prophet stepped out of the thing they worshipped. Out of the very feast they worshipped, he stepped out of it, and he can preach unto them the word of wisdom that God gave him. And that word of wisdom caused the people of the Ninevites to repent and to turn back to God. That's what a real, genuine word of wisdom can do. A word from somebody's own head won't do that. It can't do it. But a word of wisdom can do it. Praise God. Now I'm going to come to a close here at the moment. I've been half an hour and I don't want to hold you any longer this evening, but I will continue, the Lord willing, the next night on the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. But you read between now and when we're on again, read 1 Corinthians 12 and read about the gifts of the Spirit. And I know everybody will quote verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And chapter 13, verse 1, gives us the key of verse 31 of chapter 12. That's love. That's what he's talking about. Perfect love. Perfect love. And that's what we need, brothers and sisters, this evening. Perfect love. But it doesn't do away with the gifts of God. I believe that we need the gifts of God today in the true church of Jesus Christ. we can have. And we know that Solomon asked for wisdom to lead God's people above everything else. And God liked that. And because of that, God not only gave Solomon wisdom, but he gave him many other things as well, because he prayed for wisdom at the very start to lead the people of God. Wisdom. Are you praying for wisdom? Do you need wisdom? Every one of us. I need wisdom. I need wisdom to pastor this church. I need wisdom in my own home. I need wisdom every single day. I need God's wisdom. And I thank God that God can give the gift of wisdom to special individuals. And they can have a word of wisdom for you and for me when it comes from the mind of Almighty God. And it will bless us, it will help us. There's no doubt about it. I thank God for the words of wisdom. You know, I want to say this evening, my father passed away not very long ago, and we miss him dearly. And so many people have said to me, and many of my own brothers, that we will miss him the most for the words of wisdom. And many times in my own life, my father would come to my house and say, I felt to come to see you tonight. And he would share with me something that he believed God gave him for me. And I can tell you this evening, it never failed. It would be a word of wisdom at the right time to help me, to guide me. My friend, this evening, God has people, always people, with particular gifts. And don't be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, and covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, we will get the tongues and everything. So many people have a hang up in tongues, but I believe in the gifts of tongues. Absolutely, they're a wonderful gift, operated correctly. And there is a genuine tongues. But God bless you tonight. And if anyone's missed it, go back on the recording and listen in. And perhaps your brother Matthew will have it recorded up on our app later as well. God bless you all. Let us bow our heads this evening. And I'm sure that you would agree with me, every one of us need God's wisdom. Father in heaven, we bow before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We thank you and praise you for your wisdom. We would ask you to impart your wisdom to us, that we would lead your people the right way and the truth that you have shown us. Father, for those seeking wisdom tonight in their home or for a job or any situation, Lord, I pray you'll give them the wisdom they need, that spiritual guidance, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Cover our children with your blood, save every one of them. Heal those that need healing tonight. And Father, I pray for your own people Israel, that you'll bless them this evening. And Lord, do bless our nurses and all our doctors, and strengthen them and keep them at this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you this evening. We're going to have our brother singing for us just before we go. We are standing on holy ground. Praise God. God bless you all. Brother Gordon, God bless, brothers. right here.